Commander Wilkie, real fault.
The Operation Iceberg and the supplement to Operation Iceberg, which was known as Iceberg Oolong, started on the 2nd of March, 45, and we eventually came back to Sydney in at the end of May, 45. And it was really hard work. I mean, it was every... We did have a break back to the Philippines to do some repairs, and we had had our kamikaze attack by then, and we had to... All that we did was did a bit of welding and got the ship back in one piece again, as it were, and repaired the barriers. But it didn't hold us up, and we went straight back, and the Americans were very impressed with this, that we were not frightened off by the kamikaze attacks. We were back in action again. And indeed, everything the Americans asked us to do, we did. And we even volunteered to stay longer than they wanted us to stay. And this was where we, I think, were taken aboard by the Americans, regarded as part of the attack against Japan. And in fact, we went back to Sydney for repairs and leave. Then 1770 Squadron left, and our replacement squadron, 1772 Squadron, took our place on Indefatigable. But then the Americans asked us back to join them in the attacks on the Japanese mainland. And that really was, the British Pacific Fleet had then arrived.
But that Operation Iceberg was against a place called
Okinawa.
Ishigaki Jima,
which was one of the Nansei Shoto Islands. And there was a string of islands between Okinawa and Formosa called the Nansei Shoto, and three of them had aerodromes on them. Ishigaki, Miyako, and I forget the name of the other one, I don't think I've got it recorded. Ishigaki, Miyako.
So it's a string of islands between Okinawa and Formosa.
And Formosa, and we were responsible. Oh, we were diverted once to do an attack on Formosa, to head it off at source. That wasn't a great success because Formosa was blacked out by fog and low cloud. But we did a little bombing, and that was where our squadron had its great moment when Wally Thompson and Phil Stott jumped five Japanese planes flying in formation and shot four of them down. We used to tease them that the instructor got away, that all they did was shoot the four pupils down. But it was a great moment for the squadron, because they were undoubtedly being flown up there to do kamikaze attacks. Because the way they did it was they always put an experienced flyer to navigate them to the fleet, and he stayed and watched and saw what damage the kamikazes managed to pull off. But these were shot down before they got anywhere near us, which was great for the squadron's cap. I can tell you, I think, when that was. That was on... I haven't got the date, but it was during Iceberg, during the latter stages of Iceberg, when we attacked Formosa. And in fact, we weren't in... Cheese and I weren't in the attack on Formosa. We drew the short straw and had a long patrol over a Dumbo submarine, which was an important job, because there we are, Dumbo cap off Formosa. This was the 12th of April. And it was important to keep those submarines safe, because they were going to pick up any crew that had to ditch.
So you said that after Iceberg you went for this rest period.
We went back to Australia. Oh, we went for a rest period in Philippines, went back for Iceberg Oolong, and then we came back to Sydney. And the squadron was disbanded. We were all sent home to England. And 1772 Squadron took over our place in Indefatigable. Some of our crew stayed and went to 1772 because they hadn't been with the squadron that long.
How did Iceberg Oolong compare with Iceberg?
It was very tiring. We were really shot by then, you know. We were. It was 2 days operations. 2 days back, refueling, re-oiling, re-bombing up, and then 2 days back. But, I mean, we knew that it was wanted, we knew that we were doing the job that we could do well, and we were, you know, well, above all, we knew that we were showing the Americans that we could operate a carrier fleet. And we had Americans on board, so we really had some observers there who could see. One of the things that really, I think, astonished the Americans was the high morale amongst the air crews.
What does oolong mean?
I don't know. It's a type of tea, I think, oolong is. But I think it was too long with the tea knocked off. I think somebody had a sense of humour.
So there was a jest in that.
There was a jest in that, yes. I think it was iceberg too long with the tea left off.
But it was in the same area?
Oh, yes, exactly the same area, because Okinawa took a long time. The Okinawa operation took a long time to be terminated. And, in fact, the American fleet took a hell of a pounding from kamikazes off Okinawa.
But it occurred, by the sound of it, in June 1945.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was essentially the same kind of
the same
patrols,
kind, the same kind of things. Putting the, I got them here, RP attack on a radio station, RP attack on a submarine boat base, RP attack on Mayako radio station, while the Avengers bomb the runways and try and put the runways out of action. Not a very easy job, as even the Gulf War has shown. It's not easy to put an air. You know, they were crushed coral. The runways were crushed coral, and they were always, all the holes were filled in again by morning. And then we had to go and bomb the runways again.
What was your attitude towards the Japanese kamikazes?
Hated them. Hated the Japanese. I've never bought a Japanese car, and I never will.
Why did you hate them so much when you were so remote from them?
Well, we knew what lay ahead of us if we were shot down and taken prisoner. And 9 Fleet Air Arm people, at the end of the war, 9 Fleet Air Arm officers were taken out of Changi camp by some Japanese officers, taken down to the beach, beheaded and buried the day after the war ended. You don't forgive that kind of thing. I find it very difficult to be polite to the Japanese, or even forgiving.
And your attitude towards the German enemy?
Oh, I think we've forgotten. They were, you know, they were doing their job, and I think we've forgotten. We hate what they did in the Holocaust, but in fighting us, they were, a lot of them were very chivalrous, as we tried to be when the circumstances allowed it. I've been for the odd holiday in Germany, and I think I can best sum it up by, I was on holiday in Asmundshausen, and the proprietor of the hotel there was about the same age as I was. And he said, "Oh, you're from Wilkie, from Leeds, Mr. Wilkie. Was Leeds badly bombed?" I said, "No, I'm from Bristol, and Bristol was very, very badly bombed, the same as Koblenz, where you come from, but that was all a very long time ago." And he said, "Yes, it was, wasn't it?" From then on, we got on quite well. But, of course, those Rhineland towns really did get a pasting from the RAF.
What condition were you in by the end of the war? Because we hear so much nowadays about how people need counselling.
That's something we can't understand, you see. We didn't get any counselling. We had, the occasional officer got twitch. But this was understood, you know, this was occasional officer got twitch. And he was sent home, usually. It was treated as a medical state. We had, I think, one pilot and one observer was sent home with, I mean, what we called twitch, which was battle fatigue. But this is why morale had to be kept high, you know. You couldn't afford too much of that. Because we lost, the ship itself lost a lot of air crew, people we knew and loved very much. A chap called Sammy Ard, I used to play bridge with, a Spitfire pilot. He was lost. And, you know, you didn't think about it too much.
You didn't have what in the RAF they called lack of moral fibre.
Yeah, but we had one member of our air crew who was discharged from the Fleet Air Arm and recruited into the army for LMF. He wouldn't go on the Tirpitz raids. But I've seen him since, actually. I saw him in Bristol once, about 5 years after the end of the war. I bore no grudge against him. He was, there, but for the grace of God, went I, you know. If I couldn't have taken it, I might have been the same. You know, we were very, very sympathetic to air crew who got twitch. Because it was a disease rather than a piece of cowardice.
Was twitch the same as LMF?
Yeah, that was what it was called. I think the Air Force called it twitch as well. People started off LMF by getting a facial tick, usually. You could always tell when somebody was getting under pressure, they got a facial tick. Have you heard of this before?
I've heard of LMF. I haven't heard of twitch.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking to anybody, if you refer to it as twitch, you'll get a better response than if you ask them about LMF. LMF was a sort of a sentence of cowardice, but twitch was battle fatigue. And the boundary between the two was very, very hazy.
Why are you so amazed at the so-called need for counselling nowadays?
Well, because we never got it. We never felt the need for it. I mean, we counselled each other. We were chums. We were a team. You didn't let your chums down, you see. You got on with it.
So why do they need it today?
I don't know. I don't honestly know. I mean, I'm all in favour of Illingworth, who threw this bloke out of the England dressing room and said, look, if anyone wants to talk to a parson to be comforted, he's got no place in an England team. And I see his point. We had good people there. We had very good parsons who stayed in the war room and would chat to people. I don't know to what extent they were on the lookout for people who were showing the first signs of battle fatigue, but the doctors were the same.
I think we should say that the reference to Illingworth is Raymond Illingworth, the cricketer.
That's right, the Raymond Illingworth, the cricketer. Remember, you're in Yorkshire, and so... well, that was it. I came home. I went to an operational training unit. My heart wasn't in it. I had to lecture to some people some returned prisoners of war, who had been shot down in Norway from the Fleet Air Arm. And there were 6 months of the war, which neither of us knew about. I didn't start my training till August, and they were shot down in about March 1940. So, you know, we really had no point of contact, but we told them on what modern Fleet Air Arm warfare was like, and then I was demobbed.
People
and I went back to the post office.
People also seem to be very interested nowadays about how warriors readjust to civilian life after warfare. Well,
yeah.
Was there any problem as far as you
Not
were concerned?
Not really. We were all the same. I had to go back, and I applied for a job as a trainee manager, which I got, and I worked very hard, and I retired as director of the post office.
So you just went back into civilian life like that with no
civilian
problem?
Life. But then we were all there. We were the same. I mean, my big chum was an ex-lieutenant colonel in the Royal Signals, and we both went back as trainee managers. But it didn't butter any parsnips at all. I mean, you know, that was before. Now you were a trainee manager in the post office, and you had to make your way again.